Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. It is wonderful to be here tonight. You know, I couldn't help but think, you know, as we were singing those last songs, how wonderful it is to have a friend like Jesus. I know there are times that there literally is no one else to go to. And I think of those times when, you know, I knelt there, perhaps by my bed, and just cried out to the Lord. And you know, the thing is, He's always been there. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. He has the answers. And oh, He cares so much. He has compassions that fail not. And we are so wonderfully blessed to be able to go before Him, to bear our hearts to the living God. And it's a wonderful thing. You know, you can't hide from it anyway. And, you know, it's very wonderful that we can just let it be known. And how He takes us. We are going to be talking about how He makes us new here tonight. But I just thank the Lord that, oh, He takes our lives such as they are. And He begins to reformat them and make something entirely different than ever would have been if we would just went on our own way. And it's wonderful. God gives us a hope beyond this world. He gives us abilities that we would not have without Him. He gives us answers, oh my, and He gives us that wonderful expectation of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Oh my, there's so much joy in serving the Lord. It's such a wonderful thing to go before our God and know that He's there, that very present help in trouble, no matter what the situation or the need. And oh my, we are very grateful to have the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. I know I have been in touch with my daughter Sarah and her grandson Anthony. They came down with the COVID, and I thank God they are getting better. Praise the Lord. They did get a letter today that told them that they had to stay isolated until they could prove that their temperatures were normal for a certain duration. And, kind of a distressing letter, I would say. But, oh, I thank God for what He's doing and how He's helping us. I see His hand at work. And it's a wonderful thing that we can come to the Lord and know that He is there to help us and to meet our needs. Praise the Lord. We're going to go before the Lord right now and ask Him to help us here tonight, to work in our hearts how we need the Lord. Praise the Lord, but He's here to help us. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we could come before Thee here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You for the answers that come, Lord. Oh, God, sometimes it might seem like it's a long wait, but, oh, God, You know how to help us, Lord. You said they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And, God, oh, I pray that You would help Your people here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that You would help those that are weary, Lord. I pray that You lift them up. I pray that Your presence would come down, Lord, for we find that place of refuge and solitude. Oh, God, in Thy presence, Lord, that peace that passes all understanding, Lord, and the answers that come, Lord. Oh, God, I just pray, oh, Lord, that You would help us, that You'd work in us to meet the needs of Your people, Lord. Oh, God, I know we are poor and needy as we walk this earth, but, Lord, I pray that You'd work here tonight. I pray that You'd use this message. I pray, oh, God, that You'd get our attention, Lord. I pray that You'd work in us, Lord Jesus, and help us, Lord, as we walk this earth. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to fulfill Thy will, to do Thy will, to know Thy ways, God, to abide in Thy presence, Lord. Oh, God, we need You, Lord, and we ask that the devil would be rebuked, and, oh, God, cast apart, oh, Lord, cast away. Oh, God, oh, Lord, give us, oh, Lord, that freedom, oh, Lord, to praise Thee freely in our hearts, oh, God, to know Thy joyful deliverance, Lord. Oh, God, that release from sin, oh, Lord Jesus, and every oppression, oh, God, God, every depression, Lord. Oh, God, everything that comes against your children. I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd work here tonight, Lord, to meet the needs of your people, to deliver, to set free, Lord. I pray that you give me the words, Lord, the anointing. Oh, God, the ability, Lord. I ask this in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh, God, let your presence be here. Let your touch be here. Move in us, Lord. Change us. Make us what we ought to be in thee. I ask this in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. We'll call this message, Put On the New Man. And praise the Lord. We'll see how the Lord leads us here tonight. But I know we are in a time of great confusion. This world has really had it in so many ways. And we see, oh my, the product of a world given over to sin, it seems like, in so many ways. Oh my. We've seen a lot of changes. I know even in my own lifetime, there's been tremendous changes. I know I speak with my son, Brother Samuel, and he talks about the changes in his lifetime. And oh my, how we've seen it. And we know that, oh yes, there's heathen customs that have overtaken this land. And all we've seen, the watering down of God's ways, His principles, His Word. Oh, yes, this was once called a Christian nation, but my, it's far from that right now. There needs to be a huge call to repentance. Oh, yes, to bending the knee, to submitting to God, to surrendering the heart, to repent, to get right with God. There's a great need for that right now, because we are living in a time of confusion. As I said, a time of compromise, and it's like the time of Elijah. Oh, yes, when Ahab and Jezebel were in power, and oh, they had brought in all the heathen customs into the land, and all the abominations that God despises. And, oh, yes, they had introduced Baal worship, and oh, my, the people were confused. They no longer knew who was God. Oh my, what a sorry state, what a condition that world was in right then and there. Those people should have known better, but oh yes, the leadership had dragged them down to the lowest. Oh yes, and here they were. Well, praise the Lord, God brought about a man named Elijah, and praise the Lord, as God led and instructed, he was able to bring their hearts back to God. Oh, there at the contest on Mount Carmel. Yes, the God who answered by fire. And praise the Lord, what a marvelous, wonderful work the Lord did. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, He is so good. He is so wonderful. And how we can praise Him. Oh, praise the Lord. But yes, that wonderful story. And it's amazing. I just opened up my Bible and fell right in place. 1 Kings 17. I wasn't really planning to read there particularly. But you know that 18th chapter talks about that time when, oh yes, Elijah was instrumental to bring the hearts of the children of Israel back to God. And oh my, like I said, it was such a time. Oh yes, and He assembled them all together and gathered the prophets, including the prophets that sat at Jezebel's table, those that were given over to Baal, and the other prophets, oh, the 450 prophets of Baal, oh, otherwise, it all ate at Jezebel's table. Oh my, what a contest that was. And like I said, it was such a time of confusion that when Elijah came before the people and said, "How halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him." And I'll tell you what it tells us in the Word of God. Chapter 18, verse 21 in 1 Kings. So the people answered him not a word. Oh my, they no longer knew who was God. But praise the Lord, God used his prophet, that man of faith, Elijah, oh my, to go before them and yes, bring forth that contest and oh yes, make it clear that they would know by the God who answered by fire. And praise the Lord, we know those prophets of Baal tried so hard to bring down fire upon the sacrifice. But nothing happened, did it? Oh my, no, there was no intervention from their gods at all, even though they cried aloud, even though they cut themselves, oh, after their manner with knives and lancets until the blood gushed out of their bodies. But praise the Lord, at the time of the evening sacrifice, here came Elijah. Oh, he came to repair the altar of the Lord. It was broken down. He took those 12 stones and put an altar together. And oh, yes, he put everything in order like it needed to be, things that needed repair. Oh, yes, that had been brought to a great disgrace. And oh, yes, the wood in order, the bullock in pieces. And oh, yes, he had them then fill those barrels with water. 4 barrels with water and to pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And, you know, it was incredible. But he had them do it a second time and then a third time. And there was so much water drenching that would be sacrifice that it filled the altar and it ran around the trench that was around the altar. And praise the Lord, in spite of that, God intervened in a mighty way. And yes, when he called upon the Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, God heard his prayer. Praise the Lord. And he prayed in verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. That simple prayer. But oh, yes, it was from the heart and there was a need. And praise the Lord, God heard it, didn't he? That fire came down from God. Oh, praise, it consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifice that was laid there. It consumed the wood. It consumed the stones. It consumed the dust. It licked up the water that was in the trench. And that's what it took to bring the people back to God. They all fell on their faces when they saw it, and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, they had to do away with the prophets of Baal at that point. But praise the Lord, our God answers by fire. And yes, the people's hearts were turned back to God. And they saw the response of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. But thank the Lord, our God still is mighty. Our God still knows how to answer. He still knows how to do the impossible. He still knows how to answer by fire. Praise the Lord, his ways have not changed. But so many people have changed. Oh yes, so many that declare the word of God from the pulpit or some kind of thing from the pulpit, shall I say, bring about a perverted gospel. Oh, from versions that are not truly the word of God. And oh yes, maybe they don't even read scripture. Oh, maybe it's just a social message or a goodwill type of thing. Who's to know what they do? But all it tells us as we turn here now to Matthew chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says in Matthew 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Oh, yes, as so many are trying to do, they want to be called a Christian. They want to go to heaven. But, oh my, how many of them have a heart that's surrendered to the Lord? For so many of them, I fear that the world is still hugely in their hearts, and that, in fact, they are serving more mammon than they're serving God. God would not have it that way. He made it clear here in Matthew 6:24 that a man can't serve two masters. You have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. You know, if God is God, then serve Him. If Baal be Baal, then serve Baal. But oh my, make up your mind. Because that's the only way that God would have it. You're going to either hate the one and love the other, or otherwise you're going to hold to the one and despise the other, Jesus said. You cannot serve God and mammon, the things of this world, the things of the flesh. Oh yes, mammon, riches, money, wealth, whatever, all that is exemplified by the things of this world. Of course, as we turn to 1 John chapter 2, we read this very familiar portion of Scripture, but how needful it is. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. If you're in the kingdom of God, then you're in an everlasting kingdom. Praise the Lord. The things of this world are very temporary. They're just here for a moment. Life is just short, and then it quickly vanishes away like a vapor, as it tells us in the book of James. But oh my, yes, this whole world is going to pass away. All the works that are therein are going to be consumed. They're going to be burnt up. They're going to be destroyed. All the lust thereof, oh yes, will no longer be an issue. But praise the Lord, it tells us here in 1 John 2, verse 17, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord puts His Spirit within His people so that He can live with us while we yet walk this earth. And then take us to that realm beyond, that world beyond, and abide with us forever, praise the Lord, forever in the presence of the Lord. Oh, that fellowship with God, oh, that walk with the Lord, that being right there in His midst, literally, praise the Lord. Though now we have wonderful fellowship with Him. If our hearts are right, if our walk with God is right, if our surrender has been to the Lord, oh, we can have fellowship with the Lord. Oh, that wonderful God who makes all things right in our life. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we do have that fellowship one with another. So it tells us in 1 John again, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we know that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the wonderful gift of God. Praise the Lord. So much He has done for us. But in James, as we turn to James right at the moment, we have a question that is put to us. The question that I'm going to read is in James, the 4th chapter. And it says in verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you would consume it upon your lusts. He goes on to say in verse 4, Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. You just can't, you know, have it both ways. You're either given over to God, or you're either surrendered. You're either living for God, or otherwise you're in the world. You're living for the world. You're not the friend of God, despite what so many people may think. And that verse really puts it to us, doesn't it? Oh, yes, he even calls those that have this great love for the things of this world. You know, all these vanities, all these temporary things, he calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Oh, my. Oh, yes, because they have a love for something that is not of God. And yes, he tells us that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. There's a wall between the world and God. There's a hostility, you could say. And praise the Lord, God has made a way that we don't have to have that wall between us. But he has made a way that we can give our hearts over to the living God. But how we need to surrender, how we need to give it over. Oh, yes, there are things that we can't hold on to. Oh, there are things that need to be given to God. And with the Lord's help, we're going to just see if we can get into some of these nitty-gritties here tonight. But first, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Let's look at a few verses here in this 10th chapter of Jeremiah. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 1, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel." And here he says it in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." And wow, this is quite a thought in itself. We know that old Israel had that problem again and again. They, as we read earlier there at the time of Elijah, the time when Ahab was king of Israel, oh my, there were problems at that point because the hearts had been turned to Baal. But oh my, that wasn't the only time. So often the leadership brought them the wrong way. And yes, the people that should have known better embraced the ways of the heathens. And oh yes, here there is an admonishment here from the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet here, as he said again in verse 2, as the word of God, "Learn not the way of the heathen." Oh my, and you know, these times that we have lived in, so much has crept in unaware. I've seen great changes in my lifetime, as I already said, but I recall that, you know, I believe I was maybe in fifth grade or so there. I guess it would have been the 60s. Or maybe it was even the 50s at that point. The Beatles came over here to this land of the United States. And my, they brought a revolution when they came. Those Beatles looking, oh my, so strange to what we were used to with their haircuts, the Beatle hairstyles, and you know, with their way of singing. But I'll tell you what, for some reason, so many Americans gave their hearts over to the Beatles. Oh my, you know, I have seen clips where they were singing their music and bringing in their instruments and bringing in their godlessness and all their perversions and all their ways. And those that were listening were going crazy, just, you know, jumping up and down. You could tell that the hearts were given over to that which this new cult was bringing into this country. And oh my, it seems at that point and beyond it, so many other things have entered in. Things that were not here before. Not that we were perfect before that time. Oh no, not at all. But oh my, it's gone drastically downhill since those moments. And all at once, so many things that were from the East, that were occultic, that were actually New Age in thinking, were introduced over here to this country, the United States. And how America has fallen since that point. Oh my, it would be wonderful if we could listen to what Jeremiah the prophet said in that second verse, where he clearly stated from the mouth of God the great need to learn not the way of the heathen. Oh, it's all over. It's been introduced in so many ways. But oh my, God still has expectations of his people. He doesn't expect us to go their way. He doesn't expect us to do their things. And he expects us to know better as his children. And the second portion of that sentence says there in Jeremiah 10 verse 2, it says, "Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven." And there again we have, we have mention here of something that pertains to astrology. And again, how many hearts have turned in that direction? How many people look at their horoscopes? How many people look at the alignment of the stars and give heed? How many of them seek advisors, witches? Oh my, all kinds of occult things to have advice as far as what could be expected in one's future. But oh my, people are dismayed. You know, astrology is a pathetic way to live. Oh my, if you're living under that realm, you know, you are told that you are born under a certain sign. And you know, you are to expect certain fixed things. And things that are not changeable. And what a pity, you know, if, you know, the stars are aligned in such a way on a certain day, and you look at, you know, your readings, your horoscope or whatever, and it advises you not to go out today, and your heart's given in that direction, well, you won't go out that day then, I don't suppose. But praise the Lord, all those ways are not God's ways. Oh no, he sets us free from all of that. No, we can put every day into the hands of God. We can give it over to God and ask him to direct our path. We don't have to be bound by what the stars declare or what the astrologer might tell us. It says, "For the heathen are dismayed at them." Oh my, that's a terrible way to have to live. But praise the Lord breaks those chains. He breaks those practices. We don't have to live in those realms. Praise the Lord, we can be free from them. Those ways are not God's ways. That God forbid. Oh yes, such things as astrology. Oh yes, it's accursed in his sight. It's occultic. He doesn't want his people to be bound by such a system. Not by any means. Praise the Lord. So it goes on in this 10th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 3, it says, "For the customs of the people are vain." And that's what traditions are, you know, the customs of the people. And, you know, oh my, they're religiously carried out so very often. Oh, my grandfather did this, my grandmother, my mother, my dad, you know, it's a tradition. We have to hold to it. But here in the Bible, it says that the customs of the people are vain. They are useless. They are needless. Oh my. They are done for naught. And then it describes a certain practice in particular. It says, "For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with axe. They take it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we've got the mighty God. Oh, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And there is no God to compare to our God. And we are wise to fear him. Oh, yes. Oh, and to listen to what he has declared. Praise the Lord. Oh, the customs of the people are vain. And oh, how vain it is to cut down a tree and then take it into the house and deck it with silver and gold and fasten it down so it doesn't move. Oh, how vain it is. People do that, don't they? Oh, yes. Even in this type of worship. But oh, praise the Lord. God makes his people free. He makes us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Oh, we know real freedom when we are freed from sin and the bondages of sin, traditions of men, and all the ways of the people. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful for God's wonderful mercy to us. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians right now. 2 Corinthians, and again, familiar scripture here. But, oh yes, it says so much. If we go now to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Oh, praise the Lord. God takes our lives as distorted and as shameful as they are without the Lord. And when we truly give them over to him, oh, praise the Lord, he makes us new creatures in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, we have this wonderful opportunity while we have yet breath to repent of our evil deeds, of our past, of our ways of thinking, all those other things that are downers that separate us from God. Oh, yes, and we have that opportunity to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, to cut off old Egypt, to cut off all the old ways of our lives, life that had, again, separated us from God. And praise the Lord, yes, that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, he takes us. He takes us as we come to him. Oh, what can we do? We are who we are. We've done what we've done. We can't alter that. We can't change that. But praise the Lord, we can repent. We can turn from those wicked ways and we can give them over to the Lord. And he has great mercy on us. He has great compassion. And it's a wonderful thing. He takes us and he makes new creatures of our very being. Praise the Lord. He makes us new creatures in Christ. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means that he wipes our slate clean. He takes those things from our past that were ugly, dirty, shameful, reproachful, horrible, and buries them in his sea of forgetfulness. He forgives us our sins and our trespasses. They are passed away, and praise the Lord, we have a clean slate. Oh, to walk before the Lord in His ways. Oh, yes, under His covenant. Praise the Lord. It goes on to say in this fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." He bought us back, and He reconciled us so that we could have life anew. Praise the Lord. It goes on to say in verse 19, to witness, in other words, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, praise the Lord, we can pass it on. Oh, yes, because God put on flesh. He came to this earth as a Son of God, as a man, Christ Jesus. He came to reconcile the world unto Himself. In other words, He was buying us back so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be new creatures in Christ, so we could put on the new man. Praise the Lord. And yes, our trespasses. Oh, He's forgiven our trespasses. They're not credited to us. They're not imputed to us, in other words. We're delivered from them. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Oh, the wonder of this. Praise the Lord. A God so compassionate, who loved us so much that He would take something that He hated so much as sin. He would take it upon Himself there on that cross. Oh, yes. That we might be saved from our sins. That we might be brought back. Oh, yes, bought back to God. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might become new creatures in Christ. And yes, we become His ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who represents another place, another country in our modern world. But here it tells us in verse 20 that we become ambassadors for Christ. In other words, we are representing the kingdom of God. When we put on Christ, we become that new creature in Christ. We become His ambassador. We're representing His kingdom. We become a light in this world that is so full of darkness. And you know, truly, if we've given it all over to God, all those old things need to go. Sometimes people, yes, they want a life in Christ, but they're still hanging on to a lot of rubbish. Oh, a lot of things that, you know, are still a part of them, which need to go, which are not a part of the kingdom of God, that don't allow one to truly be a rightful ambassador for the name of Jesus Christ, for the cause of Christ. Oh my, and there's so many things. Oh yes, that need to go, you know. Sometimes it's that old music that you listen to. Oh my, maybe you were a Beatles fan. But oh yes, so many have come behind them, so to speak, you know. And there's so, oh, there's been so many and still are. So many that are far from anything good. But yet, oh my, so many follow them. So many listen to the music, oh my, and listen to the beat, and that their spirit get carried away, just as you could see those women and even guys screaming with the Beatles, just screaming. You know, it obviously was spiritual what happened at that point, but it still continues. And sometimes people who have it in their heart to serve the Lord are still listening to that old music. And sometimes, oh my, you know, you might be wearing the apparel of the old world. You know, and sometimes it's even advertised. You know, you might even be wearing a t-shirt or something with, you know, some kind of lewd saying on it, or some kind of, you know, might even, you know, some saying of sorts. But you know, truly, is that what an ambassador for Christ would wear? You know, all these things that people hang on to. No, there might be some kind of symbolism on clothes, on apparel, you know. And you know, there's just so much the way clothes fit, you know, that pertains to a man or pertains to a woman. I mean, there's, you know, it's abominable if, you know, a woman would wear that which pertains to a man. I'll tell you what, and you know, a man must not put on that which pertains to a woman. That's just the word of God. It's abominable in God's sight. But so many people hang on to things. Oh my, maybe old magazines, maybe old hangouts. Oh my, maybe still, you know, going to casinos or bars or nightclubs, music fests, you know. Maybe there's old addictions that haven't yet gone in one's life, things that people still do. And oh my, sometimes there's occult connections that people haven't given up. And, you know, again, they have... Oh, they sneak in. You know, you could go to a chiropractor, and I thank God, I believe I have a God-fearing chiropractor, and I don't believe they do all these other things. But so often, they sneak in things that might, you know, be, you know, something else. You know, acupuncture, for one thing, is something that's, you know, often done in these times that we live in. You know, something called clearing is often done, you know, as they take on spirits and try to, you know, identify with a person. Often, you know, then they have to clear themselves. And this is all occultic, Reiki, and all these manners of things that have invaded this world that we live in. So many things, oh, so many addictions that people cling to, you know, just all those things that need to go. And often there's filthy talk that hasn't been cleansed. Oh my, and so many things that often sneak into people's lives or just have not gone. Have not been surrendered to the Lord. You know, as I was preparing this today, I was recalling an experience. I believe it was back in the 70s. You know, Pastor David and I were in Madison at that time, and we spent a year in Madison before we came to Beaver Dam, and we worked the campus. And we had quite a few adventures there. You know, we would have a weekly meeting down on campus, and that was quite an adventure. I know I took some classes, and I had opportunities, you know, to speak with different people and pass out tracts and gather, and we had prayer meetings. There were several of us that would meet in some of the churches that were right there. UW there in Madison, and you know, we had quite a time. We had brochures that were advertising us, you know, set up there around campus and such. So once in a while we would, you know, get a phone call from somebody and that was curious about us. And I recall one particular time, it just seems like I was maybe in the Madison church at that point, and this man, his name was Clayton, and, you know, he was asking questions about our campus ministry. And he was acquainted with a hippie house that was down in that area. And he invited David and I to come and talk to the people who lived in the hippie house. And so anyway, it was an opportunity. We didn't know what we were getting into. But anyway, we took it up. We went there. And boy, yeah, there were quite a few people. Quite a few people there. There was a curious man who seemed to kind of be leading the group. His name was Simon. I think he was called Simon Sparrow, as I recall. And, you know, he kind of, you know, he pretended that he was serving the Lord. I mean, you know, he knew some scripture, you know. He'd quote some scripture. He'd sing some songs, you know. He professed that he was a Christian, but he also was an artist. Later we saw some of his artwork, and I'll tell you what, it wasn't nice. It was very, very nasty, to tell you the truth. But what else happened while we went to this hippie house that night? This Clayton, who had invited us to come, also had invited some JWs to come too. And obviously this Clayton wanted to see some fireworks. So whatever all. We had a confrontation, and we weren't able to, you know, get right down and study because, yeah, his other plan was in progress there. But anyway, Pastor David invited the JWs to pray with us, you know, and they would not. And with a few more words, thank God, they left. Praise the Lord. So that really was relatively short-lived, to tell you the truth, that little thing there where this Clayton was trying to see what would happen with, you know, our group and the JWs. So anyway, we got through that one. And yeah, spent some time, you know, talking to the others. And I don't remember them all in particular, but there was a woman there named Barb. And she really wasn't a campus student, but, you know, she was just there. And, you know, we talked to her and, you know, shared with her some. And I don't recall that we said a great deal, but, you know, somewhat. But, you know, after the night, we left the hippie house and weren't quite sure just all that God had done that night. But a few months later, we got a phone call, and I believe Pastor David and I were in Beaver Dam at that point. I think we'd moved here at that point. And anyway, we got this call from this woman, Barb, that we had met in this house. And obviously, God had dealt with her. God had dealt with her in such a way. It was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. So anyway, she invited us to come to her place. And she said she wanted us to pray with her. She wanted to repent. And sure enough, when we got to her place, her apartment, I believe it was, she had already gone through her things. And she had piles of stuff that God had dealt with her in her heart. And she wanted it all gone. You know, she had her jewelry. She had her pants. She had her records. She had her makeup. You know, she had her magazines. A whole bunch of stuff. And she said, is there anything more that I need to get rid of? And oh my, what an experience. Yes, we prayed with that woman. We prayed with her. She was ready. She was ready to give her heart to the Lord. And as the presence of the Lord came down and began to work in this woman's life, oh, praise the Lord. And shortly thereafter, we did make connections there with the Madison Church, and they baptized her in Jesus' name. And yes, she received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But oh my, what a event that was. And oh, we met this woman who was, you know, so ready to repent, to turn everything over to the Lord, to surrender her heart, oh, to do whatever was necessary to be right with God. And, oh, I just hope that is such a precious experience, because so often it just seems like people make a pretense. And it, like I said, there at that hippie house, there was this Simon, and he was making a pretense. He was pretending he was a Christian, but there's no way he could have been a Christian. He was probably smoking joints. He was probably doing all kinds of filthy things. I know there were all kinds of filthy things going on in that house. And then we saw his artwork. Oh my, no, there is no way that he was serving the Lord Jesus. But he was pretending. Yeah, he had, you know, that kind of, you know, he pretends that, you know, declaration that he was a Christian. But in fact, he was far, far, far from it. But yet, oh my, there was one person there who heard us out and saw her need to return to God, to turn her life over to the living God. I'm so thankful. You know, sometimes we don't know. We have opportunities, and sometimes we don't know what they're all about. But we serve an amazing God. We just never know what God is going to do. You know, we may be bearers of the seed, you know, sowing here and sowing there. And sometimes we can't tell if anything happened at all. But God knows how to give the increase. He knows how to deal with the heart, even after, you know, the initial encounter. Oh, God knows how to clean a person out. And how precious it is when a heart is surrendered to the Lord. How precious it is. It tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God." Oh, what a gracious God we serve. Oh, he's so willing to hear the cries of his people. Oh, he's so willing to meet our needs and to change us. Oh, yes, to make us his own peculiar treasure. But I'll tell you what. Again, you know, there are warnings here. We turn to 1 Corinthians 6th chapter. Just to read a few verses here, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, very clear here, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That's just very clear. And if you're holding on to such characteristics and traits, then, oh my, you better give it up. Because this scripture makes it very clear that there is no way you're going to make it into heaven if you're a fornicator, if you're an adulterer, if you're an adulterer, effeminate, oh my, abuser of yourself with mankind. I mean, all these things, speaking there of homosexuality and other things that are akin to that. But it goes on to say in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Oh, praise the Lord. See, that's how he takes us and makes new creatures of us. Praise the Lord. He washes us. Oh, the washing of the word, that cleansing. Oh, praise the Lord, that act of obedience in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord, then he sanctifies his people. He makes them holy, his own chosen vessel. Praise the Lord, and justifies us so that we can be just before the living God when we stand before him. Praise the Lord. And oh my, how we need to give heed. How we need to surrender our lives and make sure that none of these traits are a part of our thinking, our makeup, our backgrounds, our living, our standards. Oh my, these days the standards are so low. There are churches that are inviting the homosexuals to come in and saying God loves us all the same. There's, you know, those that you would think nothing of drinking, of booze, of drugs, all of that, you know, vaping and all that sort of thing. But praise the Lord, God changes us. So those things do not have to be a part of our existence. In fact, they better not be by any means. And it's a wonderful thing if we could say that God has taken our lives and made us a new creature in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Oh yes, when we could see His mercy towards us in those regards. Let's turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. Read a portion of scripture here. Ephesians 2 tells us, "And you hath He quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins." And that is wonderful. If we've been quickened by the Spirit of the living God, we've been made alive. We were dead in our old man. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had no hope. We were without God before God intervened in our lives and came to us and made us new creatures in Christ. But yes, He came. He quickened us so that we could be living instead of dead in the sight of God, that we could have the Holy Spirit of God abiding in our very beings. And verse 2 says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." See, that's how hopeless it was in our old life. Before we knew the Lord, we were walking all in the lust of our flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, doing just whatever came to us, whatever we wanted to do, whatever our mind bid us to do. And, you know, our old man, our old nature, our flesh, all those desires, those inordinate affections and everything else that was ugly, lewd, terrible in the sight of God. And we were all back there. There was a time that we didn't know the Lord and we walked like the others. And we were in that same boat. We were the children of wrath, even as others, it tells us. But praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us," or He called us, praise the Lord, He began to work in hearts, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. I love that. How He took our lives, as shameful and wicked as they were, but that grace of God that came, oh, and made Himself known to us, oh, and helped us to see that great need to turn our lives over to the Lord And oh, it wasn't anything that we could do of ourselves. No, salvation is the gift of God. We couldn't merit it. We couldn't earn it. Oh, we couldn't buy it. Oh, no matter how much money, how gifted we were, or what kind of abilities we had, how much power we had, there was no way that we could buy the gift of God. Oh, yes, our works, no matter how perfect we try to make them, could never make us just in the sight of God. But praise the Lord, He made a way that we could turn it over to the living God and surrender our will to the living God. And praise the Lord, I love it how it says in verse 10, for we are His workmanship. In other words, He takes our lives, He makes us new creatures. He creates. It says, created in Christ Jesus. To create means to make from nothing. So here we were in our nothingness. And God took us and He began to make something of value, something of worth, something beautiful in His sight. Oh, yes, that could stand in His presence. Oh, praise the Lord, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord, completely changing our lives, our styles, our manners, our thinking. Oh, yes, the way we look, the way we talk, all of that being changed by the mighty work of God. And yes, those good works that He puts within us, that God hath ordained that we should walk in them, that He has purposed. Oh yes, He takes our emptiness, our worthlessness, and makes something of value. Oh yes, that He gives us something that we can give back. So we can stand before Him and have something to give, something of purpose, something of value. And praise the Lord, it's all by His grace. It's all of His mercy. It's all the gift of God. Praise the Lord, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's turn over to the fourth chapter of Ephesians right now. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, starting in verse 17 here, Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus by saying, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Oh, others don't understand their great need. It's a wonderful thing when God got a hold of us and, you know, we don't have to continue to walk as other Gentiles walk. In the vanity of their mind, the emptiness and the, you know, that which is vain. But it says, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Oh my, that, you know, they're understanding darkened, as it says in the verse 18 before, and you know, alienated. In other words, oh, far from, removed from the life of God because of their ignorance. And oh, yes, the terrible things deep inside. And he's talking about a people past feeling, you know, that have been given over here, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, all these lewd, lustful spirits that dwell in many, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But it goes on to say in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Oh no, he puts another way of life within us. Praise the Lord. We've not learned those things in Christ. If so be ye that have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, you know, if we've heard the good news, if we've heard the glorious gospel, if we've been taught by him, as it tells us in verse 21, that the truth is in Jesus, then, oh yes, there's that need, oh, part of repentance, really. And repentance isn't something you just do once. Oh my, there may be many, many times to repent. Every day should be turned over to the living God. Oh yes, repentance isn't just a one-in-a-lifetime event. But oh my, as we're pricked in our heart and we maybe become aware of something that we didn't know before. Because we're all learning. We're all experiencing the life in Christ. And we need all to grow. But praise the Lord, as we begin to grow in the Lord, receiving his word, and oh yes, obeying the gospel, that we would put off concerning the former conversation, the old conduct, the old way, the old man, all those disturbing things, all those things that were very much a reality in our life before we gave it over to the Lord. And oh yes, that is all nothing but corruption. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of those things, those characteristics, that was our old nature. All those deceitful lusts, the allurement of sin, you know, that cunningness of the devil to make us think that we wanted to be a certain way or do a certain thing or look a certain way. You know, all those things that were deceptive, those allurements of sin. But praise the Lord, he made a way that we could be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Oh, praise the Lord, we can get in the presence of the Lord. We can find that place in God. Oh, yes, where he comes. Oh, yes, so close to us. And he begins to talk to us. We commune with him. And oh, yes, there might be things that we never saw before that suddenly we can see. There might be understanding that we gained that we never had before. Praise the Lord, as he begins to deal with our heart and renew our spirits. Oh, praise the Lord, we can find that renewing. Oh, in prayer. We can find it in the Word of God. We can find it through the preaching of his Word. Oh, praise the Lord, that quiet time with the Lord when he begins to talk to our hearts. But how we need to give our thoughts over. Oh, yes, to let the Holy Ghost work in us. Oh, to change us. Oh, yes, to make us that new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord. We need that renewing of our spirit. And, you know, not just once. Not just once. We need it daily. Daily we need to be renewed in our spirits, giving it over to the Lord God, to the Holy Ghost. Amen. It tells us here in verse 24, and that you put on the new man. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, praise the Lord again. Creation. God taking our lives when they were so far away, when we were walking in darkness and we were walking in vanity, that emptiness. Oh, we were dead in our sins, in our trespasses. But praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing if God got a hold of us. He began to intervene in our lives. And oh, he began to talk to our hearts. He began to change us and make us, oh, what we ought to be in Christ. And praise the Lord, yes, we want to take off the old man. We don't want anything to do with the old ways, the old thinking, the old nature, the old sin, all those things that got us into horrendous trouble. Oh, that should be abominable. That should be horrendous in our thinking when we come to the Lord. Oh, yes, never wanting to be like that again. Praise the Lord. I had a little opportunity to talk to Sister Stacy for a few minutes yesterday, and she was telling me a little bit about how God changed her. I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, wow, when we realize our wretchedness, our great need, and how much she was sharing. She was doing all those typical things that people do. And in great trouble. But praise the Lord, all at once it came to her. Yes, she realized that she was with child, and God began to deal with her. And that was a beautiful thing, as she began to realize she didn't want that old life. She didn't want that old lifestyle. She wanted to be a new creature in Christ. And I thank God He gets us to that place. Sometimes we have to go down a long road. We might have to be brought down low before we can see. But what a wonderful thing when all at once we have that realization, oh, that we are apart from God, that we're separated from God, that we're alienated from God. And He begins to talk to our hearts. So praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, as it tells us here, verse 24, and that He put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, praise the Lord. It goes on to tell us more, but I see that the yellow light is on, and I don't have time to finish this chapter. But oh my, there's going to be great changes in our lives when we turn things over to God. He talks about putting away lying. Talks about be angry and sin not. Let the sun go down upon your wrath. And all that very important thing to never give place to the devil. Oh, don't give him a place to sit in your life. Don't give him an opportunity. Scoot him out. Don't entertain things that would invite him in. Don't have objects, oh, that would attract the devil. Don't give your thoughts over to him. And oh, yes, he who stole, let him steal no more. And don't let corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth. No. Oh, yes, God would not want His people to be talking in those corrupt ways that people talk today. I know it's so embarrassing at times what people say. If you ever overhear them a little bit, oh, they're nasty. Their thoughts are evil. But oh my, that's not the way of God. And all that kind of corruption is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, and we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing that God would take us such as we were. We were all out there. We were all sinners, you know. We were all apart from God. But it was God in His great mercy, wherein He loved us, how He made Himself known to us. Oh, praise the Lord, how He called us. Oh, yes, you know, all at once our life has a purpose. It has a meaning. We have a goal. We have a Savior. Oh, yes, we have His promises. And we have eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, we become the workmanship of Almighty God, His creation, His people, His sons, His daughters. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, there is a need to depart from evil. Oh yes, to put all these things aside, to not dwell in that realm of the old man. If there were things you didn't know and then now suddenly you know them, then do it. Get rid of it. Make a change. Oh, yes, give it over to the Lord. Surrender it to God. Oh, let Him fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you surrender your heart to the Lord, I believe He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord and come to, and dwell in your very being. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a gift we've been given, eternal life. And yes, as we are admonished, oh, yes, to put on the new man, praise the Lord, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love for us. Oh, God, we could do nothing without you, Jesus. Oh, we had no hope. We were alienated from you. But, oh, God, you've made a way. And I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, to walk in your ways. Oh, God, and to go forward and do your will, Lord, and help us not to grieve that Holy Spirit, a promise wherein we were sealed until the day of redemption. Help us, Lord, to walk in your ways, to walk in the light, even as you are the light. Oh, God, praise the Lord, help us to put on the new man. Oh, thank you, Jesus, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. We're going to open our chorus books in closing to number 47 and sing, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Number 47.
Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, be safe. Have a wonderful night. And praise the Lord always.